Okay, today's daf is Mem Tet. We're going to finish the parak. We're going to start a parak, finish parak, start a parak, and finish parak, and finish the masechet. All in one shiur. Okay, we're starting at the bottom. We have this Amar Rav Huna. We were talking about Megalgalin, about when you're chay b'shvua to one person, to somebody, and you're not chay b'shvua in another issue, but you have another issue between the two of you. So the person can make you swear on that thing. By the way, I was talking to somebody yesterday who told me that they have a business afar and they had to close the business because they were in this part. They had to basically cut themselves out of the business because they had this partner and they felt like the partner wasn't communicating, was not telling them everything and was taking money for themselves. And, you know, there was no money in the business, but yet somehow the person had a new car and they had a new house and all this stuff. And They basically said, I'm getting out of this. I said, oh, that's exactly what we were learning today about, you know, having this issue with partnerships and not trusting people. So I thought that was interesting. Okay. L'kol megalgalin chutz misachir. Okay. So Rashi says here, l'kol megalgalin ayidei kol shvua derabanan megalgalin. So in fact, we learned this yesterday, that you can't be megalgal from a shvua derabanan even. You know, there's a if you're chayav shvuot hesed, let's say, or any of the shvuot mentioned in the Mishnah, if it's only shvuot rabbanan, it is powerful enough to make you take a swear on another issue, except for a sachir, she'ei megalgalin. Okay, when it comes to a sachir, we're not megalgalin, because if you remember, why does the sachir, what's the issue with the sachir? If you're owed money by the, or you claim that they never paid you, so the balabayit, you can make him swear. You can swear. It's at one of the nishpa benotel. The socher can swear. The sachir, I'm using the terms of what we're going to get to later, the socher. The sachir, the worker, is allowed to swear that he never got paid. But the whole reason he's allowed to swear in order to get paid is only kedei lahafista atel shabala bayi. Remember? It's not like he's really chayav shvua. It's only that we want to remember we're worried the bala bayi doesn't remember, blah, blah, blah. And therefore we assume he's telling the truth. The shvu is only to appease the bala bayi so that he doesn't feel like people are taking advantage of him. But yet if they're willing to swear, then he'll pay them. So because of that, they say it's not a strong enough shvua. It's the only one. It's not strong enough because it's not really like he's even chayav a shvua. It's for a very minor reason, and therefore you can't be megalgel a shvua from there. But you can't make the sachir take another shvua. Rav Chista amar, lakol emikilim chutz misachir. For all of them, we're not mekel except for a sachir, which basically means the same thing. You can't do a gilgul shvua. So they say, by a sachir, we're mekel and we don't make him take another shvua. So my benai, what's the difference whether you say lakol megalgalin or lakol mekilin? Okay, they assume this difference. Ikebenayu liftoachlo. What's liftoachlo? This is always if, we saw this in a bunch of different cases, we also call it ta'aninanle, which means that if the balabayit doesn't make a claim, or if, let's say, not the balabayit, if it were the balabayit, you can't do this, but in any other case, let's say you owe a shvua at modu b'miktzat, or any other shvua that you owe, and there was another sichsuch between you, so then you can, the beitin can suggest that we can be megalgal shvua, okay? The beitin can suggest that to you, okay? So, one second. So, if you say megalgalin, right, then you say the beitin not only will be megalgal, but they'll even suggest it to you. In other words, not only can you say, oh, by the way, he owes me another shvua, let's turn the shvua, but the beitin will do it for you. And if you say emikilin, then, one second, let me just get it straight. Right, Rashi says, if you say emikilin, then im ta'an gilgul, then emikilim alav, ela megalgalin. But if lo ta'an, then we're not poteach lo. Okay, so if we say emikilin, then we're basically saying, well, we're not mekel to not allow the gilgul, but meaning we'll allow the gilgul, but it means we'll allow the gilgul, which means not that the beitin will come and say, do the gilgul. Okay, so if you come into court and you don't really know the halacha about a gilgul shvua, then if you use the lashon of emikilim, we can't really help you. But if you use the lashon of megalgalin, lakol megalgalin, then it means the court can come in and say, oh, by the way, if he owes you shvua on something else, you can do gilgul shvua. Hajan alach kol nishba'im. Now we're going to go all the way back to Baba Metzia. Okay, if you remember, one of the shvua, we started with the shvua adayinim, and we talked about, we skipped something?
think so.
Oh, sorry. We'll skip the last line. Whoops. Okay. Hashvi'it mishametet. Okay, we have the very last line of the Mishnah. If you remember the Shvi'it, we have a strange line that the Shvi'it is mishametet. Also, it also cancels out not just a loan, but also a shvua that's associated with a loan. So Manani Mile, they say, where do we learn this? Amar Rav Gidla Amar Rav Damar Kra V'zeh Dvar Shmita Afilu Dibor Mishametet. Zeh Dvar Shmita, by the way, we darshened other things with this, but in this case they darshin, Rav says, Zeh Dvar Shmita, meaning even Dibor is Mishametet, which means that if you owe someone a chov, and he owes you a shvur for that chov, then the shvi cancels that shvur, that loan. Okay, if there's a chov associated with it. There's a big question about what do you need the shvur to cancel? Isn't the loan canceled anyway? Why do we have to say the shvur is canceled? It's a big debate about exactly how to understand this, but we'll leave it at that. Hajan alach kol nishpa'im. Okay, now we go back to the arba'a shomrim. Okay, so for this, I put a chart that should look familiar to you, hopefully. If you learn Baba Metzia with us, if not, we'll review it. You'll see it. So look at the sheet, and we're going to go through the laws of the four shomrim, the shomer chinam, someone who watches something without getting paid, the shomer sechar, he's a paid Bailey, the socher, he rents an item, and the shoel, who borrows an item. If you recall, we'll see this inside, but there's a machloket about a socher. Does he have the same halach as a shomer sechar or the same halach as a shomer chinam? We'll see that our mission is going to say he's like a shomer sechar. Okay, and then we're going to talk about, why are we mentioning this? Because we have Shvuat HaShomrim. It was one of the Shvuat HaDayanim. Remember, the Shvuat HaDayanim is Moda B'Miktzat, Eir Echad, and Shvuat HaShomrim. So now we're going to get to the Shvuat HaShomrim. Arba'a Shomrim him, Shomer Chinam, Vashoel, Nosei Sachar, Vasocher. Shomer Chinam, that has a bit of a different order than I put in the chart. Shomer Chinam Nishba Al HaKol. V'hashoel mishalem et hakol. You can see why they did it in this order. I did it in the order of progression of responsibility. Shomer chinam is the least responsible. Shomer sechar and socher are more responsible. And the shoel is the most responsible because he's borrowing. Right? Once you're borrowing, you're going to be the most responsible. If you're getting paid, you're going to be also somewhat responsible. And if you're not getting paid to watch it, well, then you're going to be less responsible. So the Mishnah organized a little differently, and you can see why, because the Mishnah is organizing it in terms of everything or nothing. So the shomer chinam is nishban everything. Okay, so if he claims it was pshia, pshia, he's going to be chayav. They're not even relating to pshia. All of them are going to be chayav if they, on purpose, did something to the object. But when it comes to if it was stolen or lost, or onus happened to it, so the shomer chinam is going to be nishba al hakol. Hashoel, if you borrow, you're mishalem et hakol. That's what happens. The shomer chinam swears, this is your shvuat hashomrim, I swear it was stolen from me because we're worried maybe he kept it, or I swear some onus happened to it. And then he's patur. The shoel has to pay everything. He can't swear on anything. Nosei sachar vasocher, nishbein al hashvura val hashvuya val hameta. Okay, you have to get all the terms straight. Shvura, I broke. Shvuya, it got taken into captivity. Let's say it's an animal. And meta, I died. Okay, this is all onus. Okay, shvura, shvuya, meta. You can see it on the chart. That's all onus. So when it comes to onus, the Nosei Sachar and the Socher can swear and be exempt because they're not Chayav and Ones, but they are Chayav, Mishalmim et HaAveda ve'et HaGneva. They're Chayav and Gneva v'Aveda. So that's your whole point. Why are you watching it? In order to protect it from getting stolen or from getting lost. So let's say now, we're going to go through, okay, you can see here, we're going to go through, if he says to a Shomer Chinam, the next case is he goes to a random person and has a claim, then that's like sort of neither here nor there. Then we're going to have the Shoel and then the Nosei Sachar and the Socher. Okay, so he goes to that person and he says, Amar la Shomer Chinam, you're watching something for free, and the guy says to the person whose item you're watching, comes to you and says, Hey Chan Shori, where's my shore that I gave you? Amar lo, mate. So now we're going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Did I count right? 8 possibilities, you can see in the chart, of what he claims. But in all these cases, he lies. Okay? So he says mate is the first one. But in fact, it didn't die. Who should either nishbar, o nishba, o nignav, o avad? Right? All cases where what? If any of these cases, if he swears that this was the case, what would happen? He's a shomer chinam. He'd be patur. So he swore it died, but in fact something else happened to it. Or he swore nishbar, it broke. V'hu shemet o nishba o nignav o avad. He swore nishba, he got taken into captivity. V'hu shemet o nishba o nignav o avad. Or he swore nignav. V'hu shemet o nishba o nishba o avad. He swore avad. V'hu shemet o nishba o nishba o nignav. Okay, actually he didn't swear yet. He claims this is what happened to it. So he claims in all these cases, either it died, or it broke, or it got taken into captivity, or it got stolen, or it got lost. In all those cases, he swore one of those things, but in fact, something else had been. It hadn't been that thing, it had been something else. Mashbiachani. So then they say, would you be willing to swear about this? Vamar amen, and he answers amen, meaning now he swore the Shvor HaShomrim. Generally, if he lies, what do we say? He's chayav. But in this case, we say patur. Why is he patur? Because it doesn't matter whether he claimed it was dead because it, you know, it, whether it just died or whether he claimed it was stolen. Either which way, he would have been patur. So his claim doesn't change. Okay?
You wonder that there's no consequence for lying for the sake of lying.
So hold off on that, okay? We're going to get to this. Okay, that's a great, it's a great question. What Ruth points out is, okay, I don't want to give away the punchline of today's shiur, but Ruth points out is, but he lied under oath. How could that be, right? So hold off on your question. Very good question. Okay, next question, next case. Hechan shori, this is still within the Shomer Chinam. He says, where's my shor? Now, instead of saying, meido nishba o nishba o nignavo avad, he says, amar li eini yodea ma tasach. I don't know what you're talking about. Right? It's a great line, right? I don't know what you're talking about. Vehu, this is one of those examples where sin and samach switch in Aramaic sometimes. Right? They use them interchangeably. Right? In Hebrew, it would be sach, like sicha. What are you talking about? Vehu, shemeito nishba o nishba o nignavo avad. Now, again, he still would have been patur if... Right? In other words, no matter what, if he had sworn correctly, and honestly, he would have been patur anyway. So again, the guy says, Mashbiachani, and he says, Amen, patur. Hechan shori. Next case with the Shomer Chinam. Amar lo avad. He said it got lost. Now we're going to talk about other ramifications. If he says it got lost, and then he says, Mashbiachani, v'amar amen. He says, do you swear? And he says, yes, I do. Va'edimi dimoto sha'achlo. But Adim testified that it in fact didn't get lost, but he ate it. Now that's Pshia. He's Chayav, right? So now they say, Mishalem et HaKeren. He only pays the Keren, and he doesn't pay the Kefel. Why doesn't he pay Kefel? Because there's a halacha that you only pay Kefel if you're Toein Ta'anat Ganav. Okay? And that's based on a pasuk in the Torah, which says, let me just find it. It says... Right, the whole one of the psukim where it talks about kefel in the Torah. Right, I don't think it's in the Torah or here. No, it's not here. One second. It says right. Im lo yimatzei haganav v'nikra ba'al habayit Elohim. Right. I don't have the whole pasuk here. Chava. Okay. No, he's not talking here. What's mechumash is that? And then Yishalem Shnayim L'Re'eim. Okay, so basically in the middle of the Shomer Chinam, it says if you don't find the Ganav, and then he swears, and then it turns out he was lying. No, that's the wrong one. Okay. Then it basically says it explicitly in the Pasuk. Okay, that if they don't find the Ganav, it's okay. If they don't find the Ganav, V'nikrab al-abayit Elohim, and then Yishalem Shnayim L'Re'eim. So it says explicitly that if he claims it was stolen, and then you don't find the ganav, and it turns out he had taken it, then you shalem shnayim. Because the Torah specifically says you pay shnayim when it's a toein tanat ganav, it's only toein tanat ganav, but not toein tanat avad. If you claim it got lost, and in fact you stole it, you don't pay kefil. Okay? Because remember, there's a bit of a difference in stealing when you just keep an item rather than actually take it out of the person's house. So if you're toein tanat ganav, then we're going to treat you the same way. But not toein tanat avad. Okay, so if he says... That. So what are we going to say? So he pays tashlume, shalem etaker. Hodame atzmo, but if he admits it on his own, so if edim come, now you have to remember there's a few elements here. Number one, he doesn't pay the kefel. Number two, you'll see in a second what he also didn't pay in the first case. Hodame atzmo mishalem keren v'chomesh v'ashem. If he's hoda on his own, then he pays the keren, the Chomesh and the Asham. Where does this Keren Chomesh and Asham come from? Is the Kefal come from the Toein Tanaka Navarava, right? Where we're going to say he doesn't pay the Kefal. But because he swore falsely, what do you do when you swear falsely? You're Chayav, Shvuat, right? Shvuat HaShomrim. And what are you Chayav? You're Chayav, Keren, Chomesh. You have to pay an additional fifth. And you bring a Korban Asham. That was the whole thing about this type of Shvuat. So now, why only Hodame Atzmo and not Edim? Because the chomesh and the asham, you might think, oh, it's an additional punishment. And why, if edim come, should you be doing less than if you admit it freely? Because even though admitting freely exempts you, let's say, from knas payments, but in this case, the whole issue of the chomesh and the asham is for you to get kapara. And since you didn't admit it on your own, you don't get the kapara. Okay? You can't get that repentance. So when you come and you say, oh, I'm sorry I lied, that's the classic shvuata pikadon. So then you come forward and you say you lied, and then you pay the extra. And that gives you kapara. But if edim come, then no. You don't get it. In other words, again, it's like we saw with ir miklat, that there's an advantage and a disadvantage, right? It's a punishment, but yet it also gives you kapara. Hechan shoiv amar lo nignav. Now we get to his to'en tanakanav. Mashbiachan iv amar amen. V'ha'edim idinoto sheganavo. Okay, he actually, right, the truth is he actually stole it himself. So what happens now? Mishalem tashlum kefel, right? Then he does pay the kefel. Hoda me'atzmo. Now what if he admits it? Then remember, if you're hoda me'atzmo, you don't have to pay the knas, so he doesn't pay the kefel. But mishalem keren chomesh va'asham. But then he gets the keren chomesh va'asham that come, right, the chomesh and the asham that come from lying under oath and then admitting that you lied. Okay, now we get to this case, which is neither here nor there. Amar le'echa b'shuk, he says to someone in the shuk, heichan shori, where's my shor, sheganavta? Okay, you go up to a person in the shuk and you say, where's my shor that you stole? This isn't a case where he was a shomer. Hu omer lo ganavti. Okay, this is just an outgrowth of that last case of the imnignav. Okay, if the shomer is gonev, so now we're going to talk about what if someone else is gonev, and he says lo ganavti, va'edim idim oto sheganavo, but edim come and say you stole, so obviously what's this? Classic case of kefel. Mishalem tashlume kefel. Tavachu machar, if he slaughtered it and sold it, and it was an animal, right, a shor or a seh, then mishalem tashlume arba'a v'chamisha. But what if Ra'a Edim Shememashbashim Uba'im? He sees Edim around the way to court to testify against him. Amar Ganavti. So then he says, oh, in fact, I did steal. Avalo Tavachti Velo Macharti. But I didn't, and you claim Tavachti Velo Macharti, I didn't do that. Eino Meshalem Ela Keren. Okay, so now when the Edim come and say, not only did he steal, but he also Tavachu Machar, he's Nachayev Tvicha Michira. We saw why. Because since Hodame Atzmo is Nachayev the Kefel, once he's Nachayev Kefel, Tashlume Arba'a V'chamisha, go down to Tashlume Shlosha V'Arba'a, the Ein Kazeh Davar, it doesn't exist. There is no such thing. You only either pay Kefel or Arba'a V'chamisha, there's no three or four. So therefore, he doesn't, Eino Meshalem Ela Keren. Okay, he's not chayav the arba b'chamisha in that case, even though he really did deny that and he should have. Amar l'shoel. Now we go to the next case, the shoel. Hechan shori. Amar lo, mate. And he says it died. Now remember, the shoel is chayav on everything, even ones, even if it died, or even if nishbaru, nishbaru, nignavo avad. So if he says, anyone who came later, there's sheets today. You can follow on the sheets. So if you don't have, you can take. So mate, hu nishbaru, nishbaru, nignavo avad. So he claims it died, but in fact, it died in some other way, or was stolen, or lost. In which case, right, all those cases he'd be chayav. Or nishbar, we're going to go through all the options. Nishbar, v'hu shemeto nishbar u'nignavo avad. Or nishbar, v'hu shemeto nishbar u'nignavo avad. Or nignav, it was stolen, v'hu shemeto nishbar u'nishbar avad. Or avad, it got lost, v'hu shemeto nishbar u'nignavo avad. He claims it got lost, but in fact it died, or got broken, or got taken into captivity, or got stolen. Mashbiachani, the person, the Tovea says, do you swear? V'amar, amen, and he says, yes, I do. Patur, in all these cases, is going to be patur from the Shvuat HaPikadon. Why? Because either which way, he's going to be chayav. First of all, this is such a silly Shvua entirely, because in the other case, the Shvua exempted him from payment. In this case, whether he swears this is what happened or that's what happened, it doesn't make a difference. He's going to be chayav to pay anyway. So that's not a Shvuat HaPikadon. Hechan shori, what if he says, where's my shor? V'amar lo, eini yodea ma tasach. I don't know what you're talking about. V'hu shemeto nishbaru nishbaru nignavo ne'avad. Mashbiachani v'amar amen. Chayav. In that case, he's going to be chayav. Because if he says, I don't know what you're talking about, well, then he's kofir that he was even a shoel. He's not even admitting to anything, in which case he's claiming, I'm not chayav anything. And the balabayit's claiming, what do you mean? I gave you my item and you didn't. And in fact, he really had the item and something had happened to it that was onus that he'd be chayav to pay. So he was trying to exempt himself from payment. In that case, obviously, he's going to be chayav. Amar le-nosei sachar va-socher. So now you see, just like our Mishnah said, the nosei sachar and the socher are the same. Hechan shori, okay, this is a pay bailey or someone who rents an item where the level of responsibility goes up a level from the shomer chinam, but down one level, he's not chayav in ones, but he is chayav in kneva va-veda. So here, he says, hechan shori, amar le, so he says back, right, the nosei sachar the socher, he or she says back, mate, okay, says the animal died, which means he'd be patur, right, exempt. Vehu shenishbaru nishba. And in fact, it was ones, but it was a different type of ones than he said. Nishbar, vehu shameto nishbar. Right, now we're going to go through all three possibilities. Or nishbar, vehu shameto nishbar. Or a case where nignav, vehu shavad. Or avad, vehu shenignav, where either which way he'd be chayav. Right, so either which way he'd be patur, or either which way he'd be chayav. Mashbiachani v'amar amem, patur, because here there's no difference between his claim and what the truth was in terms of his level of responsibility. But meto nishba o nishba, but if either he claims it died or it broke or it got taken into captivity, v'husha nignavo avad, but really it was gneva v'aved or aveda, which he'd be chayav in, mashbiachani v'amar amen chayav, then he'd be chayav. Avad o nignav, if it was lost or stolen, where he'd be chayav to pay, or where he claims avad o ganav, he claims gneva v'aveda, which means he's saying, I'm responsible to pay. Vehu shemeto nishba o nishba, but in fact it was actually ones and he was exempt from payment. Mashbiachani v'amar amen patur. There, even though the level of chiyuv is different, but the level of chiyuv, he was taking upon himself a greater responsibility to actually pay instead of not to pay, and therefore he's going to be patur also. Now we're going to get the klal. Zeh haklal kol ha'mishane michova lechova umiptur leptur. And if you were either chayav and you said you were chayav a different way, or you were patur and you claimed you were patur for a different reason, umi patur lechova, or you were patur and you claimed you were chayav, patur, you're going to be patur. But if you go mechova lepatur, but if you go from a case where you were chayav and you lied about it and said you were patur, then you're going to be chayav. Zeha klal, and now they're saying another klal, which you wonder why, and the Gemara doesn't ask why. Kol nishba lahakel al atzmo chayav. L'achmir al atzmo patur. If you're trying to get out of something, then you're going to be chayav. If you're trying to be more machmir on yourself, then you're patur. Okay. The first thing the Gemara says is, man tana arba ashramim. Who's the Tana of this Mishnah that talks about these arba ashramim? So I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Ravua, Rabbi Meir hi. The Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Amar le Rav le Rav Nachman, mi katana delet le arba ashramim? Right, come on, this is basic. Aleph bet, who says there aren't four shamrim? Everybody says there's four shamrim, that's obvious. What do you mean Rabbi Meir is the one who holds arba ashramim? So Amar le, he said, no, you misunderstood. Hachi kamin alach. This is what I was asking. Man tana de amar socher kenosei sachar dami. Who's the Tana who says that the socher is like the nosei sachar? Because remember, as I said, it's a machloka, you can see in the chart. Machloka Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. So I'm a Rabbi Ravua, Rabbi Meir he. So then Rabbi Ravua comes and says, right, it's, or whether I'm a Rav Nachman, I'm a Rabbi Ravua, right, Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Ravua, this Rabbi Meir. So then they said, what do you mean? V'ha Rabbi Meir ipcha shemin alei. Didn't we learn that Rabbi Meir holds the opposite? Ditnan, hasocher ketzam shalem. I think it's a brayta actually. Ditanya, yeah, Ditanya, it's a brayta. Socher ketzam shalem. We quoted this in Bava Metzia also when we learned this. Rabbi Meir omer k'shomer chinam. Rabbi Yehuda omer k'nosei sachar. This came up at least twice in Bava Metzia, where they say, "What do you mean? The shitota flipped." So Rabbi Ravua ifchatane, right? Rabbi Ravua had the opposite nosach. In other words, he was just answering according to his nosach, and someone else has a different nosach. There's a debate about who holds what. So then they say, Hane arba ahavu, shlosha ahavu. They're really only three shomrim, because the nosei sachar and the socher are the same. Am Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, arba ashomrim v'dinehem shlosha. There's four shomrim, but there's three dinim for them, right? There's only three categories, but there's four actual people, right? Four actual situations. Amar l'shomer chinam hechan shori. Amar lecha b'shuk, amar l'shomer, which is really supposed to be amar l'shoel, and hechan shori, amar lo e'eni yodea ma'atasach. Okay, without looking inside, but these are basically all the cases where he's going to be patur. Okay, so Amar Rav, bikulam p'turim b'shvuat ha-shomrim. Okay, this is what you want to know, Ruth. Bechayavim mishum shvuat bitoy. Okay, while all of these, he comes and says, all these cases where they're exempt, They're all pturim mishvuat hashomrim. However, they're chayav in shvuat bitoy. Okay? They're going to be chayav in shvuat bitoy. Meaning, remember, this goes brings us back to the beginning of the Masechet. The first thing we learn is shvuat bitoy, which is when you say, I swear I didn't eat yesterday. Right? I swear I stole it, but really, he lost it. Or I swear it died, but really, it was stolen. Right? So there's all different, right? This is a lie. You're basically lying about something that happened. Ushmuel amar, af pturim mishvuat bitoy. Shmuel disagrees and says, no, in fact, they're exempt from shvuat bitoy. B'may kamiflagei, what's the root of their machloket? Shvuel tzavar, now this is great review of the Masechet, or at least certain things we learned from the Masechet. I feel like the last page, we're kind of combining all sorts of things we learned. Shmuel tzavar leite b'lahaba. You can't make this type of shvua for the future. You can't say, remember, it has to be, I ate or I didn't eat. I will eat or I won't eat. But you can't say, it will be stolen. It will get lost, right? It will die. You can't say that. So because leite b'lahaba, you can't say it, right? It's not a shvua bitoy. It doesn't fall into the category. V'rav savar ite b'lav v'hein. Since you can say, it was stolen, or it wasn't stolen, or you can say it died or it didn't die, you can make the shvua, it's a lav v'hein, and therefore it does fall into the category. You have to remember, by the way, that this is only according to the opinion that a shvua bitoy can also go on l'sha'avar. Remember, the classic shvua bitoy is l'hara u'leitiv, on the future. So this whole mahalach holds by, right, Rav and Shmuel hold that it also goes, right, that it's Shvuot Shtayim Shem Arba, the way we started our Masechet, that it's both the two, the future and two about the past. But then it depends, it has to, even in the past, though, it has to have certain criteria. Can it also be in the future? And Shmuel says, since it can't be, it's not a good Shvuah. Rav says, no, as long as you can have the Lav Ehem, that's enough. So now they say, what do you mean? Rav and Shmuel already had this Machloket somewhere else, so why would they bother saying it here? Remember, what if you talk about a third person and you say, I swear I saw him throw a rock in the water. Or I swear I didn't see him throw a rock in the water. So Rav Amar Chayav, why does he say Chayav? Because you can say, I swear he threw it, I swear he didn't throw it. But Shmuel Amar Patur, because you can't say, I swear he will throw it tomorrow, because it's not something that's in your control. You can only swear about something that's in your control. I swear I'll eat tomorrow, or I won't eat tomorrow, but you can't say, I swear someone else will throw a rock in the water tomorrow. So Rav Amar Chayav Diite B'Lavehen, Shmuel Amar Patur Dileite B'Lahaba. So now the question is, if they had their machloket there, why do they have to say the same machloket here? It would be obvious. Sricha, we do need it. Why? If you only had it there, you'd say Baha ka amarav, mishum diminafshe kamishtaba. Aba bahach te beidina mishabele. Bahach te beidina mishabele, ema module lishmua. Very interesting chiluk Rav mix. He says, you might have thought that since he's in the Ploni Zarach Tzur Layam, that's something he came instead of his own, right? He came and decided to take a shvuah on his own. That's your classic shvuah bitoy. Somebody out of the blue says, I want to swear about something. That's different from the beitin being mechayev a shvuah. So the classic shvuah bitoy is when you say it on your own. So you might have thought the Rav would say, you're chayev a shvuah bitoy in the case of Ploni Shazarach Shvuah Layam. But in the case where the beitin is mechayev otcha, because you're a shomer and you have to swear, then you might have said, well, there's no shvuah bitoy at all. Even though, iti b'lavahein, you might not say the same thing. Kidu Rabbi Ami. Now here, where do we have this distinction that between the beitin being mishabele or not? Okay, so, Kidu Rabbi Ami. Da'amar Rabbi Ami, kol shvua shayadayini mashbi'in oto, ein chayavin ala mishum shvua bitoy. Because Rabbi Ami says it explicitly. If the court imposes a shvua on you, then there's no shvua bitoy. Shvua bitoy is only when you come and you make a shvuah on your own. V'i itmar baha. So now they say, well, what if you just had it in this case, of our case? Then you know, well, even in a shvuah dayanim, where the dayanim are mechayevatcha, you're gonna have this issue. I itmar, that they're going to have a machloket. And then you know, obviously, if they argue, even in a beitin case, then they'll argue in a regular case. V'i itmar baha, you might have said no. Baha kamar Shmuel. in this case, Shmuel is going to say you're patur because it's a shvuat adayanim. But Shmuel might say, in a case where you came of your own, maybe you would be chayav a shvuat bitoy. Maybe you would agree with Rav, and therefore it's tzricha. Okay, now we're going to go into Gufa. We're going to go into Rabbi Ami's statement. Amar Rabbi Ama, kol shvuat Rabbi Ami, kol shvuat adayanim ashbi'in oto, ein ba mishum shvuat bitoy. Why is this? Where does he get it from? Shenemar o nefesh kish tishavah levatei b'svataim me'atzmo. Okay, he says when it says o nefesh ki tishavah levatei b'svataim, the meaning is he does it on his own. Kidi Rish Lakish, how does he get it from the pasuk? Damar Rish Lakish ki mishtamesh ba'arba lishonot e dilma ela and deha. Okay, in other words, ki can you be if. Maybe, ela, but, or deha, that. So how does he understand it? O nefesh, im tishava levatei b'svataim. Im is lashon reshut. Okay? So therefore, he understands the key here is the lashon of reshut. Therefore, shvua bitur, you're only going to be chayav if you decide on your own to take a shvua. Otherwise, it doesn't come in the category of shvua bitur. And therefore, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Ami. Or you might have thought that Shmuel held like Rabbi Ami. That's where we got to it. Okay? And that's why you needed to say it here too. Rabbi Elazar Omer, kulam pturim mishvuat hashomrim, v'chayavim mishum shvuat bitoy. Rabbi Elazar is post Rabbi Ami. Now remember the geography. Rav and Shmuel are in Bavel. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Elazar are in Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to remind you that we saw the four of them yesterday. Okay, I'm going to go back to that in a minute. Rabbi Elazar says, I disagree with you, Rabbi Ami. They're pturim mishvuat shomrim, but they're chayavim mishum shvuat bitoy. Chutz mi, except for one case, a few cases. Chutz mi, eini yodea ma tasach, deshoel. Okay, the eini yodea ma tasach, because there he's chayav. He's just basically saying, except for all the cases where you're chayav the shvuat shomrim. If you're chayav the shvuat shomrim, then you're not chayav the shvuat bitoy. Which you might say, well, isn't that obvious? It's not so obvious. Why? Because you're still, and you could view something we've seen many times where there's categories of, you know, you could be chayav five lavim for one act. You could say very simply, you swore falsely, you did a shvuat bitoy, and you also did a shvuat hashomrim falsely. So you could, in theory, say that, but he's saying no. The ones you're not going to be chayav shvuat bitoy are the ones where you're chayav shvuat shomrim, and then you're not chayav shvuat bitoy. Eni yodem atasach av shoel, gneva v'aved av anosei sachar, right? You can follow on the chart where they are, right? Where nignavo avad, but he claimed it was ones. And shu chayav shaharei kafro mamon, right? Those are the only two cases where you're chayav. You can see it very easily on the chart. Those are the only two cases where chayav shvua. Okay? So, because there he denied a monetary payment and therefore falls in the category of shvua bitoy. Okay. Hajalach harashomrim uslika la masechet shvua. Okay, but before we really finish and say the siyum, I want to just say a few things about the end of the masechet here. First of all, I think the end of the masechet does a good, all of a sudden goes back to the beginning, brings everything full circle, pulls it all together. And what it really comes into is I thought that there were two major distinctions being made here. One is shvuot that the court imposes rather than shvuot that you take on your own. Because the Masechet put all these together because they're all shvuot, but they're quite different. A shvuot that you decide to take on your own is a shvuot you want to vow to do something or not do something, or you want to prove your point to someone. That's a whole different category, at least according to some of the interpretations here. It's a whole different category than shvuat hadayanim, where you're chayav by the court, a court imposed shvuah. Those are two very different things. And there you kind of have to verify your aminut, right? Or we also looked at it as maybe you're kind of giving a payment to the other side. That's a totally different category than, okay, where do they fall in, right? There's the shvuah hadayanim, there's shvuah hapikadon, and then there's shvuah shav and shvuah bitoy. Shvuah shav and shvuah bitoy are the other category. And the question is, do they overlap or not? And that's really what's going on at the end of the parak here. Are these one in the same, you know, can things qualify if they don't qualify for one, can they qualify for the other? Interestingly, nobody thinks that you'd be chayav of both, even though in other areas of halacha, we do sometimes, you know, add on multiple. Also, it's a different chiyuv. Shvuah bitoy, you bring a korban olev yored, so you could, in theory, say maybe you have to bring the korban for that and the korban for that. But they don't, nobody thinks that. And so that's one issue that I think comes up at the end. And I wanted to point out, to connect, I couldn't connect all the shitot because Rav and Shmuel, there disagreed and there they agreed and here they disagree. But if you remember the case from yesterday, what was the case from yesterday? We had this case about the Yorshim. The Yorshim are trying to get money from the other Yorshim. And they're, according to some opinions, they're not allowed to take a shvuah. And according to others, they can, right? Because ein adam marish shvuah labanav. So Rabbi Ami himself, which is very interesting, he's the one who really goes l'shitato. Here, what did he say before I even get to there? He said, if it's a shvua shahadayanim hashbi'imoto, that's a different category in emba mishum shvua pitoy. What did he say yesterday? He said that if you're nitchayev a shvua bebeitin, then ein adam morish shvua lebanav. But if you weren't chayav a shvua in beitin, then you are morish shvua lebanav. That's a different type of shvua, right? He views it, once the court imposes it, that's already a court imposed shvua, and it goes into a whole different category. And that can't be passed on to your son, because the son, you're already chayav a shvua, the son can't take that shvua. But if you haven't, and you're just chayav because, you know, you're chayav a shvua, because, you know, then, you know, because you want to collect it from Yatomim, and the father's dead, and you need to take a shvua, that just comes from your own. In other words, you want to get your money, so you have to take a shvua to get your money, but the court hasn't imposed it yet. So he views it differently, and here it's the same kind of chiluk. Okay, whereas Rabbi Elazar there, it said, Yorshim nishba'im shvuat yorshim. Okay, he didn't think there was any, right here Rabbi Elazar says, once it, right, that he wasn't so worried about ein adam morish shvuah lebanav. He didn't think there was such a difference whether it's done in the court, not done in the court. Here also, he says, so what, you did it in the court? You're still chayav shvuat bitoy. Okay, in other words, you lied. You lied under oath, that's a shvuat bitoy. You said something that fits the category of shvuat bitoy. So that was one thing I wanted to end the Masechah with, about this combination, between, you know, how much of overlap is there between a shvuah that someone takes on their own versus a shvuah that the court imposes. The second thing I wanted to talk about was something that came up more yesterday, but again, I think at the end of the Masechah, the rabbis are trying to get to real basic issues of shvuot, which is the need to institute shvuot versus the need to the attempts to avoid people from taking oaths. Right? On the one hand, we don't like people taking oaths. On the other hand, sometimes we need people to take oaths. And that whole thing with the Yatomim, right? We don't want people to take advantage of Yatomim, so we institute they have to take an oath. On the other hand, we then create a situation where the Yatomim can't take an oath, and then they can't actually get their money. And it's, so there's this constant struggle between how much we allow shvuah and how much we don't. And I made this reference to the sugya in Gittin, but I realize that not everybody learned Gittin with the cycle, and I wanted to go back because for me it's a very powerful daf and it really highlights this whole issue. So in Gittin, sorry you don't have it in front of you, but I'll do a good job of explaining it well without it being in front of you. In Gittin, daf lamed dalet amud bet, there's a mishnah that basically says an almana can't get her money from nichsei yatomim ela b'shvua. Then the mishnah says nimnu umi lahashpia, but they didn't want almanot to take shvuot anymore because they were worried that they had taken money from their ketubah in their lifetime and kind of justified it, and we're going to sort of, you know, what's the word? Not justified, but anyway, they were going to moreh heter latzmam. They were going to basically say, oh, well, I took that money. That was money I took really because I was taking care of the kids, but, you know, I really didn't take my ketubah money. So they nimnu umi lahashpia. So then, this was in a slew of takanot that Rabban Gamliel was matkin. He tkin Rabban Gamliel azaken, shetehein noderet liyitomim kol mashi yirtzu v'govak tubata. So Rabban Gamliel came up with a good solution. Instead of a shvua, she'll take a neder. She'll say, if I took anything from what the yitomim, you know, from the ketubah, then this food will be forbidden to me. And then it would be okay. Two reasons why it's different. One is because maybe a shvu is more severe than a neder. First of all, generally, again, there was a bit of a debate. Are all these shvuot b'shem or not? But, you know, you're using Shem Hashem, so it's more severe than a neder. Another interpretation was that a shvu is a one-time thing. You swore falsely. Okay, you swore falsely. A neder, every time you eat that food, you're going to be over on your neder if you really lied. So it's going to prevent her from actually doing it, you know, from lying, because she's going to know every time she wants to eat that, she's going to be over on the neder. So anyway, that's what the Mishnah says. However, over time, what happened? So Rav decided that Rav lo mag beg tuba la armelata. Okay, Rav, it was known that he wouldn't let almanot take tubot. He didn't want to let them do a neder. He didn't want this tekana of Rabban Gamliel. And he didn't want to let them take their ketubah money. Okay? So then they say, there was this, and then Shmuel has this other opinion that once, if you remember with the ketubah, okay, so they can't get their ketubah. It's not the worst thing in the world. Why? Because as long as you don't demand your ketubah money, you have to remember ketubah, what happens? You keep getting mizonot payments. Ketubah is a lump sum that you get when you take your ketubah. But until you get your ketubah money, you can take mizonot. So if she's an almana living by herself, so she keeps taking mizonot, it's okay. She gets a monthly stipend. She can live on that. So the ketubah does give her something. However, there's all sorts of shlavim where if you do start doing something, there's machlokot about it, you can no longer take your ketubah money, okay? The best, obvious one is you can no longer take your mezonot. Sorry, thank you. Can no longer get mezonot. What's it going to be? For example, you go get remarried, so you're no longer connected. What?
You put on makeup,
right? You remember that. So one of these good sources, you start putting on makeup, you start, and there's a whole debate about when it is. Shmuel says once you're tovah ketubata bebeitin, once you go to demand your ketubah money in the court, you can no longer demand, you can no longer get mezonot. That's Shmuel, not Rav. Okay, so Shmuel, lo magri tumal amarlata, you wouldn't let them get their ketubah. And Shmuel says, once you go to court to demand your ketubah, you can't do it. So this woman comes to court to get her ketubah. And Rav Huna says, Auda ata lekameh de Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Sorry, it goes before Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Amar lai mai avid lach, what can I do for you? Sorry, Rav lo magri tumal amarlata. Baba mari lo magri tumal amarlata. My father also, Rav Huna, wouldn't allow this. Amar lai havli mizone. So she says, give me my mizono. He says, Amarle, Mizone Nami Leitlach. Sorry, you can't get your Mizonot either. Da Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, because Rav Yehuda quoted Shmuel is saying, Hatovak Tovatab Beitin Ein LeMizonot. So and here comes this woman. Why do I love the story? Because it's a woman who basically stood up for her rights. And what did she say? Amarle, well, she said it in a woman type of way, in the Gemara, I should say, in a negative way. But what did she say? Afchu al Korse. Okay? Turn over the chair of this person, meaning depose him from being a court judge. Why? First of all, anyone who thinks women didn't know what they were talking about, right? She knew what she was talking about. He said, you're doing to me like two different opinions, and you're getting me stuck in a corner that I can't get anything, right? You're basically passing like Rav about Lobam Yitzumul Amarata, but Shmuel would have let me. And you're passing like Shmuel that once I go to court, I can't get my tuba anymore. So what happens in the story? The end of the story is, so Hapchua Lakor Seva Kirtsua, they turn over his chair hoping that will fulfill the curse by actually physically turning over the Dayan's chair. Bapiluhachi lo iprig michulshe. Okay, he never got over his chulsha. In other words, she actually cursed him and he ended up dying as a result of it. Okay? And this is, why do I quote this case? Because it's the same thing as these Yatomim yesterday. Do we try to come up with ways, and interestingly, Rav and Shmuel, both in our sugya also didn't allow the Yatomim to get the money, right? They view this whole thing about swearing to Yatomim was such an important thing that they created these situations where women couldn't get their ketubas, Yatomim couldn't get their property. And it's the same people. And what we saw yesterday was there was this attempt, and also here, there was this in ketubah and gittin, there was this whole attempt to try to override Rav and Shmuel, because how can you do this? You can't. It's almost like the way things develop. They started in one way where there were all these possibilities. You could swear, you could do this. But then they started narrowing it down and saying, but wait, we don't want people to swear falsely. We don't want, you know, and they started limiting. And then people came and said, why are you limiting this? You've gotten so strict that we can't function. And particularly, who are we targeting? Yatomim and Almanot, who we're supposed to protect. So then the halacha kind of swung back eventually and basically said, you know, we have to go back to allowing, you know, we have to override these halachot in some way. So yesterday we saw they struggled to kind of override Rav and Shmuel without really overriding Rav and Shmuel. And that's like a whole big struggle, and particularly in the case of Shavuot, where on the one hand, we don't want to be machmir, we don't want to have people taking Shavuot. On the other hand, we need people to take Shavuot for certain things. So there's this constant struggle, and I think particularly they ended the Masechet with the struggles about these issues. Okay, that was where they wanted to end up, to kind of remind us of all these basic issues that are very critical. Okay, we'll do the siyum. Hadron alach masechet shvuah v'hadra chalan. Da'atan alach masechet shvuah v'da'at ha'chalan. Lo nit nashem inach masechet shvuah v'lo tit nashem inan. Lo ba'al mahadein v'lo ba'al mada'ate. Hadron alach masechet shvuah v'hadra chalan. Da'atan alach masechet shvuah v'da'at ha'chalan. Lo nit nashem inach masechet shvuah v'lo tit nashem inan. Lo ba'al mahadein v'lo ba'al mada'ate. Hadron alach masechet shvuah b'hadra chalan, da'atan alach masechet shvuah b'da'at ha'chalan, lo nashem inach masechet shvuah v'lo tit nashem inan, v'ba'al mahadein v'lo ba'al mada'atik. Hi ratzon fanecha, Adonai Eloheinu v'lehi avoteinu, shetei torotcha umanutenu v'olam hazeh, utei imanu l'olam haba. Hanina bar papa, Rami bar papa, Nachman bar papa, Achai bar papa, Abamari bar papa, Rafa bar papa, Rachish bar papa, Sucha bar papa, Ada bar papa, Daru bar papa. Harev na Adonai Eloheinu et divrei Torahcha befinu ufidiyot amcha beYisrael v'niyeh kulanu anachnu v'tzetzeinu v'tzetzei amcha beYisrael kulanu yodei shemecha v'lamdei Torahtecha me'avai tachachmeni mitzvotecha ki la'olam hili yihili bi tamim b'chukecha l'man lo evosh l'olam lo ashkach b'kudecha kivam chiyitani baruch atah Adonai l'mdei nechukecha amen 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 selah va'ed. Yehiratzon fanech Adonai Elohai, kashem shazatan l'seim masechet shvot, kein tazreni l'atchil masechtot u'sfarim acherim u'l'saimam, l'mod u'l'amid l'shmor v'l'asot u'l'keim et kol divrei Talmud Torah b'yahava. Zchut kol ha'tanaim ve'amoraim v'talmidei chachamim yamod li u'lezari, shelo yamush ha'torah mipi u'mipi zari v'zer zari ad olam. ותתקיים בי בתהלכך תנחה אותך בשוכחך תשמור עליך והקיצות היא תשיחך כי בו ירבו ימיך ויוסיפו לך שנות חיים אורך ימים בימינה בשמאלה ושבכבוד אדוני עוז לעמו ייתן אדוני יברך את עמו בשלום.